Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to continue in our current series of studies, The Lord is My Strength. And our theme verse for this series of meetings, only four broadcasts, is in Psalm 28, verse 7, where we read there, and this was written by David. David, one of David's Psalms. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Here David, in words very succinctly stated, and containing so much truth, gives me four important reasons why the child of God can rejoice in the Lord. The child of God's resource is his strength and his shield. The child of God's experience, my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. We have covered these subjects already. But today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the fact, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. Now, you will notice a logical sequence in all of these things. David is put to the test. He is met with circumstances with which he cannot cope. Then he has to learn that the Lord was his strength. He delivered him, and my shield, he protected him where he could not protect himself. But now you and I can enter into these experiences as well. And then we read here, my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. Now this was the experience of David's, and this is the child's God's exaltation and praise, which we wish to cover today. And then we'll have one more study left, the child of God's testimony, both to God and to the world around him. Now, we're going to use the example of the Apostle Paul in this matter of exaltation and praise. He is such an example. And in the Philippian epistle, we read there where Paul was imprisoned, waiting for execution in Rome. He didn't know whether he was going to be executed or not. Actually, he was not executed at that time. A little bit later. But I want you to listen to this man of God, if you will, please. We read in the third chapter of this epistle, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Not rejoice in your own accomplishments. Not rejoice in your own piety. Rejoice in the Lord. He could rejoice in the Lord, though imprisoned. And now we want to look at the circumstances. We read in the first chapter, for instance, of the Philippian epistle, the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds, the shackles of the Roman government, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, or the praetorium, and in all other places, and many of the brethren and the Lord wax in confidence by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. One preach Christ of contention, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. And there were those that hated the Apostle Paul, and they kept on preaching the gospel because they thought that it would actually come to fulfillment in Paul's persecution and death. Here he is rejoicing in the fact that they did it. One preached Christ to contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other in love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Oh, he's going to make a conclusion. Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation, my deliverance, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be in life by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, simply more of Christ. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Paul says, I don't know whether I want to die as a martyr and glorify God in that sense, or keep on living and serving him. But he says, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I choose, I wot not. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Well, Paul was spared to the Philippians a bit longer. He was not beheaded at this time. But he's rejoicing. And this epistle of the Philippians is just one great psalm of rejoicing in the Lord. He was willing to remain to serve the Philippians, but he did. However, he could rejoice in the Lord. The Lord was controlling all his circumstances. Now, this is Paul as our supreme example. Could we survive under the test that he was put to at this time? I doubt it. I just doubt if I could. But notice, please, I'm going to give some examples in which we can rejoice. Now, we can rejoice in the Word of God. We can rejoice in his deliverance. And we can rejoice in our sufferings for God. Now, that seems like a paradox. Rejoice in sufferings? Yes, the saints of old received it with joy that they were permitted to suffer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's talk about his word. In Psalm 119 and 162 we read, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. He stumbles onto the word of God. We can rejoice in his promises. We read in Acts 16, 30 and 31, where the Philippian jailer, who has incarcerated Paul and Silas, wrongfully, of course, but they were in prison, and they were singing. And they woke up God sent an earthquake, and he broke up the jailer, and the jailer thought that his prisoners had escaped. And he came in, and he found, Paul said, don't harm yourself. He was going to commit suicide. Because that was Roman law. If you let a prisoner escape, you had to take his penalty. But he asked the question then. He brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, that's a promise. There is a promise for everyone that gets saved. No one has ever been saved from sin's penalty, power, and presence without a promise from God. He keeps his promises. We can rejoice in God's salvation. We can rejoice in the peace of mind that he brings. We read in John chapter 14 and verse 27, Peace I leave with you. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We can rejoice in the peace that the Lord gives on various occasions. We can rejoice with a peace of mind, as we've already been speaking. Now we can rejoice in his presence. We read too in Hebrews 5, or 13 rather, and verse 5, Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How wonderful to have a promise like that from God. Think of his promise, if you will, please. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is a promise. We can rejoice in the word of God. Now we can rejoice in his deliverances. It has been said, and it is well said, that salvation has three aspects. We are delivered from the penalty of sin when Christ died on the cross for our sins. We are delivered from the power of sin now that Christ lives in heaven as our great high priest, and he prays for us, and he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and he's going to deliver us someday from the very presence of sin. Our salvation is threefold. First, our salvation from the penalty of sins paid for by the Lord Jesus when he died for you and for me on that cross. And I have the authority from God's word to tell that that is the possession of everyone listening to this broadcast if they will claim it. Christ died for your sins so you could be in heaven. And if you believe it, if you trust in it, you will be saved. And you will go and share that heaven with him. That is the penalty from that is our deliverance from the penalty of sins, Christ's death. But he is living that we might be delivered from the power of sin, and he prays for us all the time. He's up on the throne. He's our great high priest. And he encourages us to come in his presence and seek for deliverance. And then we're going to be delivered from the presence of sin. In Philippians chapter 3, we read there in verse 21, well, actually verse 21 and 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. When is this going to happen? When he is going to change our body of humiliation, it's better rendered, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working of his power. That's when he comes. We are going to be changed, and we're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. And let me tell you something else. We are delivered from the presence of sin, the Christian, that is, the moment he dies. He has no more to deal with the old nature. He's in the Lord's care in heaven, waiting for that day of redemption. Now, Paul speaks of rejoicing in sufferings. He says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul was suffering for the church. The church is a product of suffering. Paul was glad that he could endure a little of the sufferings of the Lord. And let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus on his throne today goes through our sufferings with us. He suffers with us to deliver us. James speaks of a different principle. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trials that come into our lives, God permits that we might develop patience and wait upon him. And then we read in John 3:16, this is rejoicing in our sufferings, whereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Christ died for you and for me. He laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Lay down our lives for the brethren, Christian people? Yes, that is our privilege. We can rejoice in that kind of sufferings, and it has been done by the martyrs that have preceded us. We have every reason to rejoice, and this is the natural consequence of the deliverance of the Lord. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for these precious truths. In his name, amen.